Welcome to Highly Questionable. Look at the enthusiasm on those faces. It's Bomani Jones. It's Izzy Gutierrez. It's Tua time. Look at how excited they are to talk about Tua. Yeah. Let's get started.
Should we give Bomani's beloved Josh Allen a pass for his performance last night because of the weather?
All right, so Bomani is very reasonable, actually, when it comes to staying in his position. Much smarter than me on this subject, on Kirk Cousins, and he will eventually be right about Kirk Cousins because Kirk Cousins will revert to being Kirk Cousins. He has stayed steadfast on Josh Allen. Let's just wait it out. You will see the reckless and the dumb and the inaccuracy make appearances. I just don't think that last night is the night to do it because the Chiefs have an ability to beat you more ways than any team in the league. They made Lamar Jackson look like this as well. The Chiefs have a lot of different ways to beat you. Last night, they did it just handing the ball off. Basically, the way to beat them with 46 carries is the way that they beat Josh Allen, and they have Patrick Mahomes.
You know what Josh Allen tried to do again in that game? Tried to throw a pass on a called running play where he was wrapped up, and rather than just being like, okay, it's a wrap on this one, he was looking for someone to heave the ball to, and it ain't like it's the only time that he has ever done this. Does he get a pass for the game because of the weather? The other guy was 21 for 26 in that same weather. The other guy averaged over 8.5 yards per attempt in that weather, where Josh Allen averaged 4.5 yards an attempt in that weather. He did not play well. This doesn't have to be a referendum on his career. This poor performance does not mean that this is the median game that he is going to play. However, he is a dude that is going to give you some ups and downs, right? He's a guy that, when he's bad, can be absolutely terrible. And he didn't give you like the super terrible version of him in the course of this game. But this is two games in a row where the dude has not played especially well. He beat up on bums earlier in the year. And you can say the Raiders aren't bums. Their defense is one of the worst in the league. He's all right. That's it. The highlights are fantastic. But stop trying to wish this dude into being something he simply is not.
Not going to lie, I'd rather have the quarterback that tries to throw out of a running play than the one who checks down all the time or hands off all the time. So that I consider a positive, frankly. But I'm going to go ahead and defend Josh Allen just a little bit more here in saying that we might be at the point where it looks like Josh Allen needs some help, right? What was the formula going into the season for the Buffalo Bills? It was a defense that was largely considered top three in the league going in. That defense hasn't been very good this year. And frankly, the running game has been awful. We saw their running game, the Bills' running game, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss didn't do anything really, and it's probably why they went so hard after Le'Veon Bell, thinking they have a chance to win in this division here. So you look at the first four games, I think that is maybe not peak Josh Allen, but the best of him right now, and obviously the last two against the Titans and the Chiefs, he's going to struggle some if he doesn't get any help. I completely agree with Bomani that his decision-making is questionable, but that fearlessness in the pocket and that arm that can put the ball anywhere when he's feeling accurate is a qualities of quarterback that I always want. So I still think I'm all in on Josh Allen here. I think eventually he'll be a lot more Brett Favre and a lot less sort of mistake prone.
Yo, he can't put the ball anywhere. He can put the ball way, way, way far away, but he's not a dude that's hitting a period on a used car contract. Like, he's never going to wind up being that dude. You're right. He does need some help because their defense looked bad. The line didn't look good in the course of this game. He does need some help. You know why he needs some help? Because he's one of those dudes that for you to win with him, everything else is going to have to go right. If he's under pressure, he's going to make bad decisions. If the defense isn't good, you don't want him dropping back over and over and over again. And that's fine. That's also just a lot like Kirk Cousins.
When I say he can put the ball anywhere, I just mean with the arm strength. I mean, he could have somebody hanging on his left shoulder and with his right hand at least attempt to stick it in anywhere on the field. Now, the accuracy things, yes, you're right. He's not always going to dot the I. But in terms of getting that ball off, I like that.
But the way
ability.
They're using him, Bomani, the way they're using him, he is completing 70% of his passes. Like, I thought he was going to stay inaccurate. But they've got him either doing short stuff that's manageable or the deep throws where I'm always willing to try the guy who's tantalizing and titillating and reckless because he's going to get me a 50-yard pass interference call.
Yeah, completion percentage is not a proxy for accuracy. He is completing more passes than he had before. He's still throwing it right at DBs. Some of these catches are still behind dudes. Like that interception he threw against Tennessee where people say it went off the guy's shoulder pads. Yeah, because the ball was behind him and came in too hot. Like, we glass half full everything with him. You know who really couldn't do that in that game? Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was trying so hard to be like, okay, there's a bright side, but imagine super accurate Troy Aikman looking at this dude. He can't see this.
Is Zeke to blame for the Cowboys getting pummeled last night?
To blame. They're in first place. They're the cream of the NFC East. Football was kind of ruined last night for a couple of different reasons. One, Kyler Murray, 9 completions, wins 38-10. And then the other game, Tyreek Hill is a decoy. No, thank you. Please give us Tyreek Hill running down the field is what we want. The Dallas Cowboys, historically bad on defense. And this is a bad thing. What I'm about to say is one of the most haunting things in the last decade in the NFL, I could say. Andy Dalton throwing 50 times is not a good idea. Zeke has fumbled too much. Those have all been turned into touchdowns. They scored 10 points last night and have a historically bad defense.
How much buyer's remorse do you think Jerry Jones has right now on Zeke Elliott, right? Looking at the landscape of his team and between those two guys, Zeke and Dak, which one was more valuable? It seems pretty darn obvious that Dak is the more valuable of the two. Not only does he have the fumble issues, and he's had 4 lost fumbles, all of them resulting in touchdowns for the other teams. And in this game, obviously, the first 2 possessions and Arizona goes up 14-0. That's almost directly to blame for losing this game. But if you look at the scheme of this team, you're supposed to have that franchise player that can win you ball games, whether you adjust the game plan or not. I know they were down 14-0, but you can't have Andy Dalton throwing it 54 times and the backs only running it 27 times. That's not the formula for this team. One way or another, with Dak out, Zeke has to be responsible. He has one rush of over 20 yards this season. It was 24 yards against the Cleveland Browns, and he lost a fumble after 24 yards, okay? It's a terrible season for him so far. He cannot be the franchise running back and put those types of performances together.
Hold up, though. There were people on this network. There were people on other networks.
Yes,
I saw
Prescott,
the Athletic write a story about this one that tried to make the argument that maybe it wasn't that much of a difference between Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton. And look, I thought Andy Dalton was as good an option as you could get as backup quarterback outside of Jameis, right? Because he had seen him do it before. That dude is D-U-N done. And their offensive line is bad, but they got guys for him to throw the ball to. Even with the fumbles, they've got guys to hand the ball to. Andy Dalton looked awful in that game. I know what it looks like when it's a good quarterback behind a bad offensive line. That looked like a bad quarterback and a bad offensive line, and that's what the Cowboys fans are going to get to watch all year long. And guess what? Look at the schedule. So are the rest of us. Andy Dalton is going to be terrible on national television week after week after week this year.
All right, so since we switched to Andy Dalton, let's just say this. Bo, it seems like the Andy Daltons of the league, where I was with you in terms of a backup quarterback, seems like the best you can get. That caliber of quarterback or that style of quarterback seems to be going extinct. The guys that can just sit back there and throw, even without the mega arms. Like, Andy was a reasonable quarterback of Cincinnati, and right now it just looks like he can't survive in this league.
He was a reasonable quarterback at his best when he was surrounded by talent. Now he is not at his best, and he is just Andy Dalton. Trust me, if that Andy Dalton could still play, somebody would have given him a job. There's always a line of people waiting to give a job to Andy Dalton. Always. And they were all like, nah. He got benched for Ryan Finley. Remember that?
Where were the people who were willing to take on Ryan Tannehill to be a starter, though? Because it seems like anybody could have had him. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he ends up a backup job in Tennessee is all he could get.
The Dolphins literally gave him away. Remember that? Because they like put a pick in his pocket and sent him out of there.
Coming up next on my Soul's TV show,
the Dan Le Batard Show Twitter account with a movie ad with Clayton Kershaw in face paint, clown paint, and it says Choker like the Joker. I mean, that's your name on the account.
I know, but it was somebody else doing harsh. That.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Does it make sense that the Dolphins named Tua the starter right now?
This one's interesting, the timing of this, because the Dolphins don't have 40-point scoring games. They just had their 5th one with Ryan Fitzpatrick in 20 years, dead last in the league. They're coming off 2 blowout wins to get to 3-3, and Buffalo just fell back to the rest of the division while the Patriots lose at home to Denver. So I am led to surmise here that the Miami Dolphins absolutely believe that it is time to put the gas pedal on and They think this guy in practice, with more invested in him than we have invested in him, they think he is healthy and ready to win the division. My guess is that this is the hope trafficking business, but these people have invested in this guy. They have a star at quarterback, they think, and that's the reason that they're putting him in now, because Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't deserve this, not now, not at this minute.
Nobody give a damn what Ryan Fitzpatrick deserves. He should be happy he's still in the league. Hey, man, this appears to be an NFL team with a plan, and I'm surprised that people are so surprised by this decision. The Dolphins don't play this week, right? This leads me to believe that the Dolphins decided very early on, we're going to come out of our bye week and Tua is going to be our quarterback, because why shouldn't Tua be our quarterback? You can talk about the deservingness of Ryan Fitzpatrick all you want. If we know anything about Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's this. If things are going good, that means that things going bad are right around the corner. Why would you wait for the things to get bad? Sell high on this. Do not get too hype on the idea that you beat the beaten down 49ers and the Jets and make yourself believe we got to keep Ryan Fitzpatrick out there. They got a future to go to, and if they believe that Tua is healthy, if they believe that Tua was healthy to start the year, Ryan Fitzpatrick never would have been the starter. They think he's healthy. They seem to have planned to do this the whole way. Go ahead. I see no reason why not.
This is how little faith I have in the Dolphins altogether as an organization. When I was talking about them making the transition from Fitzpatrick to Tua, I was mentioning that in a blowout loss, they should put Tua in and get him some reps. Never once did I anticipate they would have a blowout win and put him in for a few downs. But after seeing that, and this just backs up Omani's point there, it's not as if in those few plays they saw, hey, Tua's ready now. He played, you know, he passed the ball twice against, you know, a bad Jets team. It's just heartening because it seems like this is the plan the entire time. It seems like he is performing better than Ryan Fitzpatrick in practices, because Ryan has not been performing that horribly in games. He's kept them in games for the most part, and obviously won that game against the Jets pretty easily despite an interception. But to see Tua ready, I think, is just all you need to know. And if you look at the schedule, and you see it gets tougher in the back end. The last three or four games are the more difficult games for the Dolphins. So in the easier portion of the schedule right now, you put Tua in, he feels comfortable. Hopefully they have a franchise quarterback.
Yes, the back end of the schedule. But he's starting with Aaron Donald. God help him. Starting with Aaron Donald in his face.
That's unfortunate.
Do you have faith in Clayton Kershaw to not choke tonight?
Wow. That is unfair. It's cruel. It's wrong. Izzy, you shouldn't be laughing at that. This is a human story, and this guy has been dreadful in the postseason for anybody with that many starts. But to be dreadful when he's as great as he usually is, how can I possibly have any faith and trust in him when I'm guessing at this point he doesn't have a whole lot of trust in himself? And worse than that is, this guy can win tonight, and it's not the one we'll remember because it's game one. He now has this reputation. He is in that terrible spot that the only big games that there actually are the ones that he loses, because he had a big game earlier in this postseason, but it didn't matter because it's against Milwaukee. We only remember the failures with this guy, and he's given us a lot of them.
Listen, Dan, you can't come on this show and tell me what I can and cannot laugh at when – if I remember this correctly, perhaps like it was yesterday, the Dan Le Batard Show Twitter account with a movie ad with Clayton Kershaw in face paint, clown paint, and it says Choker like the Joker.
I didn't do that. That's your name on the account. But it was somebody else doing that. I thought that was harsh.
I thought for the rest of his career, he will remember that. And it will, for the rest of his life, he will remember that. And it will make him cry sad clown tears. And I don't think that's very fair for Clayton Kershaw. The only advice I have for the Dodgers is, look, just take him out an inning earlier than you think you should. That's it. Don't let him go in the sixth. Don't let him go in the seventh. Heck, if he struggles a little bit in the fourth, take him out then. Just don't put him in that situation in a close game where we can make more movie posters out of his face.
Yo, Izzy, you said that like it's a throwaway when that is the point. Like in the Don Mattingly days when this would happen, he would be great until he wasn't. And the argument for leaving him out there was they just didn't have enough of a bullpen. And in the way we like to think of starting pitchers, especially if you're a guy like Mattingly who played back in the day, you like to think of the guy standing out there and battling and figuring his way out there. He used to watch Bobby Cox do this with Greg Maddux. He'd let Greg Maddux go out there and take a 5-run inning because he'd think it would all come together later. Sometimes it would, sometimes it wouldn't. But with Kershaw, he has demonstrated himself to be a guy that if it starts happening, you've just got to go ahead and take him out. If you get 5 innings of Clayton Kershaw and it starts going bad in the 6th, go ahead and take him out. I think he has actually been let down by managers as much as he has let down his team. This sport is unique in that way, where we can go take you out and bring in somebody fully rested if we can. And they need to be honest with themselves that once those things get wobbly late in games, you're better off with your fully rested reliever than you are with Clayton Kershaw.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question John Wall's ability to multitask?
All right, we got a TV show on this network called Monday Tailgate. It is co-hosted by Jason Fitz and Phil Yates, and they decided they want to talk to John Wall about football. He's a Cowboys fan. Check it out.
So who in the NBA is the biggest, like, NFL trash-talking person that you like to go at when the Cowboys are playing?
I don't know, to be honest, man, because everybody got different teams, and it's a lot of Cowboys fans, so I really don't have trash-talking with a lot of my teammates or anything like that, because, you know, a lot of people switch team when the players switch, so they don't really got a legit team like I do.
Yeah, the Cowboys are currently in first place in the NFC East and can have a pretty commanding lead with a win tonight. But that part is good. But be honest, John, how much have you enjoyed seeing the Eagles and also football team and also the Giants double out of the gate so far this season?
Repeat that question, please. I'm sorry.
The other NFC East team stumble out of the gate so far this season, because it has been a rough go for Philly, Washington, and also Giants.
So disrespectful.
Oh, it's been great. So disrespectful.
You got to call him out on that.
Yo, he's still going.
We get opportunity to kind of get some momentum and get some of the best teams, and we kind of find a way to win. But it's going to be tough.
Poor Field Yates.
But I think we have
been in that situation before, where you're talking and you just know the other person's not listening, but you just got to keep going. Maybe stretch out the question.
Guys, Dan, you know damn well there's no way that the moment you saw the cards come out that you would not point out the fact, like, wait a minute, are you playing cards? Like, those dudes tried to roll through it, and I don't know why. We can all see the cards.
John Wall, I swear to God, I expect John Wall to play an NBA game while also playing cards.
In a gym in France, Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, we're going to introduce you to a kid who is 16 years old. He's got an 8-foot wingspan. This is the evolution of the sport here. Rudy Gobert, who's kind of a freak as well, isn't this kind of freak. Look how long his arms are and playing from the perimeter. This is where we're headed, gentlemen. Greek freak, French freak, all these freaks. with just absurd skills he's 7'2", 7'3", and again, 16 years old. Guys, that sport is changing a lot. Those guys were always Sean Bradley, and you always worried about their feet, and now they're on the perimeter instead of the post. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Yes, and let me tell you how I watched that video a few days ago. I was just watching it as a prospect. It's like, oh, long limbs, really long limbs. Wow, oh, look at that, getting a shot off against a long defender. And then you realized it was Rudy Gobert defending him, and you're just like, what? And then you just keep reading and realize that he's 16 years old. This is clearly the greatest basketball player who's ever lived already.
Rudy Gobert, a former Defensive Player of the Year. Bomani, are you intrigued here?
I am intrigued, but I want to give that young fella some warning. Just because you did that to Rudy Gobert that day, don't think you're going to do that to him in, like, the actual NBA. Like, he was not getting the version of Rudy Gobert that Joel Embiid gets out that bad boy. Like, it's really interesting that that young man could make those shots, but Rudy knew he wasn't about to go, like, super hard against the kid. A, you look like a bully, and B, if you do it and you don't guard him, then you look like a sucker.
Tonight on ABC, The Bachelorette.
All right, I am told that I don't have to flee the premises here and discuss as I always do, because this is the Australian Bachelorette, and I'm told that this is really strong, that even by our standards of whatever the Bachelorette is supposed to be in terms of popularity, this is supposed to be even better.
I feel like a bit iffy about dessert. I don't think I've ever done a dessert in my life, but it's measuring and putting it into a blender, so we'll see how we go. I just had a look at the instructions to make avocado mousse. It said to grab 2 avocados, and I've grabbed them, and I've put the whole lot in the blender. It said to do it until it's smooth, so I was just waiting until it was going to go smooth.
No. I mean, he ruined a perfectly good avocado. I like to put guacamole on my avocados. What the hell was that? Izzy, are you intrigued?
I read where avocados are going to be extinct eventually and that we're running out too soon. And this guy's wasting them and wasting a perfectly good appliance, by the way. That thing's got to be burning.
Moron, Bomani. Are you intrigued?
I expected it to be a bit more salacious, to be honest with you. I figured that Australia, they got a little bit more gangster wild with it down there. And then all I do is some dude I can barely understand talking,
that
putting an avocado in the blender.
That was not gangster
wild. That was not gangster wild.
Whatever the opposite of gangster wild is what that was. All right, we're out of time here. Thank you for watching. We've told you before, check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones, wherever it is you get your podcasts. And while you're at it, rate, subscribe, and review Levitard and Friends. You got a lot of stuff there, including Stugatz and Stupidity. You're not supposed to win 38-10 when you've completed 9 passes and you're 9 of 24. You guys do what with that Arizona Cardinals performance? Cliff Kingsbury was 23-25 at Texas Tech, and now he's got a quarterback.
Go Fish.
Are you guys listening to me? Are you guys – come on, we're doing a show here.
Can you repeat the question?
Are those Uno cards? You guys aren't playing cards. Are those
cards? They're not Uno cards. They're real cards.
You fraud, Gutierrez.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.